All right. We are back with the podcast. It's been a few weeks. Been a while. Things intervened. The election was going on. So it's been a while since I've been able to get on here and do this. Let's see. Today is one that it's one I really look forward to all year. Because whenever I listen to music throughout the year, I make these little lists in my mind of what are going to be my best CDs of the year. That's what music nerds do. They're constantly making lists. So that is what we're going to talk about today. I am here with my good friend Barrett Kilmer, the owner and operator of Indie Coffee here in Madison. Are you there,
Hello,
Barrett?
Hello, I am here. Hello, everybody in Radio Land. This is on the radio, right, Chris?
Yes. I rented out my own station just for this. It really is bizarre because we're sitting about 5 feet away from each other, yet our voices are being beamed up into the interweb, into outer space, and then back down again so I can hear you. Is that correct?
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
And there's only the slightest delay. And even though I'm looking at you right now, when I don't, that kind of helps things out a little
bit.
Yeah,
you just have to not look at me, which probably shouldn't be, shouldn't be that hard. But as you're
write a note on my hand here, do not look at Chris.
As your voice goes up through the stratosphere, if it could pick me up some smokes and a pizza while it's out on the way back, I'd appreciate that. Now, tell us a little bit about Indie Coffee. The only real problem I have with Indie Coffee is that it's kind of getting a little too corporate for me. And I've told you this before. I mean, I know it's just your wife and you that own and run the place, but it really is kind of – it kind of has that Shopko feel to it now. Like, you know, if Dick
– That's by design, Chris.
Yeah. If Dick Cheney were in town and he were like, man, I really want a cup of coffee, I think he'd probably go to Indie Coffee.
I think he would.
Like there's a big Halliburton conference in town, and he wants a nice cup of conservative coffee.
That's the place. Before the election, we had all manner of McCain, Palin campaign paraphernalia all over the place.
I bet.
Yeah, because about 99% of our customers are Republicans.
Big hit with the clientele. I think the Palin stuff.
Right. We actually did have quite a bit of Obama stuff in there, and we initially worried a little bit about that. I mean, you didn't want to alienate any of the customers, but
what, like you'd lose your tax exempt status or something? Or
well, I don't know. I mean, if I had a shop that I went to all the time and they had all kinds of Cubs crap up, I might. I might not go in there anymore. You gotta support my team, otherwise I'm not gonna patronize your business.
Speaking of sports, we actually went to the hockey game, the Badger hockey game on Friday night. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I just ask you questions. Is that right?
That's correct.
like I'm interrogating you or something. So
we came up with some new rules.
The game. You know, you're a big hockey guy. I am not a big hockey guy. I know nothing about hockey, but we were thinking about different ways, different rules that they could come up with that might spice things up a little bit. And
your first, I think you came up with the first one, which was the two-pointer.
Right. if you hit one in from past the blue line, it should be 2 points, I think.
Which I think is a pretty good rule and would really benefit the Badgers this year. They've got really, really good defenders and
And there were actually a couple two-pointers taken during the game that would have counted as two.
Yeah, definitely. I think Alaska Anchorage was starting to rain the twos a little bit too early. They way through the second period, but so that was one.
Yeah, the other Alaska Anchorage, of course, being one of the five schools that Sarah Palin attended, so you're a big fan of hers. Okay, the other one was if the goalie scores 5 points.
That's 5. That's
5. It's got to be 5.
Right.
But the rule is the goalie can come out of the goal and score. He doesn't have to be in his own crease to be able to shoot it all the way down the ice.
Exactly. Well, what about, we didn't even think about this, but What if the goalie shot a two-pointer? Is that six?
No, any time the goalie scores in any – that's – no. That's dead.
Okay. Even if it's an
Even
empty netter, that's five.
Right.
If it's a slap shot from his own goal, that's still five.
Right. Yeah. And we also figured that there's certain things that we want to encourage in hockey. So if you have a – any time a guy with a mustache scores – 1.5 goals. So you're down like 3 goals, and you need 2 goals to tie it up. You're down 3 points. The coach just clears the bench, brings in a bunch of guys with mustaches, and they start firing away.
Absolutely.
What would be wrong with that?
I think that's to be encouraged. That's 3 new rules. I think another one that we another one involved the wheelchairs, although I'm having a hard time remembering what that was.
If you're up by 5 goals or more in the third period, you either have to bring in a guy in a wheelchair that has like a sled on the bottom of it to play for you, or a 7-year-old child.
Now, could this be maybe one of your starters in a wheelchair? Does it have to be somebody that's disabled?
Differently abled. Because they play hockey too.
Right.
I mean, it'd be a good chance. You know, if you're up by 5 goals, you're not going to lose anyway. So,
right.
You know, give the guy a shot.
Let's tell him that each goal is worth 10 goals. But we'll just ring him up for a couple or whatever the rule is. But we want to make him feel as good as we can.
All right. Last night you were talking about blowing the lid off of a certain industry here in Wisconsin, your past job. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I was starting to talk to Chris. I don't know if we were talking about.
You're a native of De Pere, Wisconsin.
De Pere, Wisconsin.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. We were talking about bad jobs we had in school. I'm not sure how it came up, but in the summer of, this was about 1986, when I was in college. Seriously. I had a job one summer at the pickle factory, and I was kind of explaining to Chris what I did, and it really requires a beer glass to kind of visually explain what I did, so I'll leave that for another time, sometime when we do a television broadcast. But I will say that talk then turned to the relish room, and anybody that's known me for a long time has heard my stories of where pickle relish comes from and why I won't eat it. Basically, if somebody's driving a forklift around and pickle falls off, gets run over, and maybe some guy steps on it with his, you know, dirty boot, somebody comes with a rusty shovel, puts it in a big drum, and that drum gets dragged into the relish room.
The relish room.
The relish room is a fly and rat. I don't know if it was literally rat infested. I would imagine so. I can't see it, but lots of flies and rotting, stinking pickles that, you know, they'd boil them, I'd imagine, make them that they're somewhat safe to eat.
So you're going to blow the lid off this. You're going to write a memo or a book. Whenever you have extra time, you're going to write
exactly
a book about this.
Or as you put it, I'm going to be the Upton Sinclair of the industry. Or maybe for the entire canned vegetable industry, I think.
You are going to bring down Big Pickle, which I think is a movie playing on the Spice Channel right now.
Oh.
All right. Well, that was all just a setup for that. All right. Well, let's get to the reason that we've convened here finally. We are going to go through our top 10 CDs of the year. Each one of us will start with 10, and then I'll do my 10, and he'll do his 10. Some overarching themes for this year. A lot of big bands came out with big albums that were actually pretty good. I think it was kind of a return to form for a lot of bands that had kind of disappeared for a little while. And although, you know, in the hipster world, you're not supposed to say that you actually like any of these bands. I thought there were some pretty solid outings from like Oasis, I think was pretty good. Let's see, Death Cab for Cutie, I thought was really good. Nine Inch Nails had, I mean, their last couple. I'm a Nine Inch Nails guy, so their last couple have just been awful, just horrific. But this one, this year is actually pretty listenable. Metallica, you know, say what you will about Metallica, but that album rocks. I've got a friend who said that that's his guilty pleasure. That listening to that band or listening to that album makes him feel like he's cheating on his wife. That's how much he likes that Metallica album.
That friend was not me, by the way. Just to make
no, 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 no. let's see. R.E.M. came out with an album.
That's one I was going to mention. Yeah.
Yeah, Beck came out with one, and it was nominated for like Best Alternative Album for the Grammys, which is just, I mean, it's just criminal. I mean, it's pretty good, but it's,
yeah.
If you want to get me going on the Grammys, it's, I mean, it's essentially whoever we've heard of. Let's see, the She and Him album I thought was pretty good. Did you listen to that one?
That I listened to just one time through, and I didn't. It didn't grab me. It just so I don't know. Just making an instant judgment that I didn't need to listen to it again. So, okay. But doesn't mean it wasn't great.
Eagles of Death Metal came out with an album called Heart On. That was actually pretty good. Let's see. Some other ones that just missed my list. I'm From Barcelona, The Postmarks, Evangelicals, Everybody Fields. Tau, Bonnie Prince Billy, who usually is an automatic for my list whenever I do a year-end list, just missed it this year. Mates of State, I really liked a lot. Let's see. And the Jenny Lewis one was pretty good, too. So my number 10, putting together these lists is always hard because there's always a general bias towards what you're listening to at that very moment. And this happens to be one that I'm listening to right now that I like a whole lot. But, you know, you ask me a year from now and when I size up the year, maybe it'd be, you know, top 20, maybe it'd be top 5. So I don't know. But there is, let's see, it is Gentleman Jesse, who I know nothing about. I just picked this one up a few weeks ago, and it's really kind of poppy, good hooks. So let's just listen to this. This is called The Rest of My Days. So you can see how pretty much how that one goes. So we'll go to Barrett's number 10. What's number 10 on your list there?
My number 10 is a band called Department of Eagles. This came out in October. I got it a bit early.
Legally, I hope.
Legally, of course. And I don't know a whole lot about these guys either. I know that a couple of them are also in the band Grizzly Bear, and they put out an album last year that Chris and I both liked quite a bit, and I think we each had on our top tens. I tried to pick a song that was representative of the album. I don't have a song on here that's necessarily my favorite. It's just kind of one piece, and it's also something I listen to more passively than actively. But I found myself going back to it over and over again, and it was one of the last ones to... and it's literally number 10.
And this is In Ear Park?
In Ear Park.
All right, let's listen to it. kind of music for lovers, isn't it?
I say the contrast between our two number 10s is quite stark.
Yeah.
Says a lot about our personalities, perhaps.
Now, you have an interesting theory about MP3s versus CDs, that somehow if you have something on MP3, it's a lot less likely to make it to the list.
Well, yeah, it's true, and it's got nothing to do. I'm not an audiophile. I'm not saying that it doesn't sound as good. It's just if somebody burns something for me and gives it to me on a disc, a Sharpie written on there, I don't know. I'm not going to find a case for it. It's going to just kind of, you know, sit in my car, maybe fall on the floor and get scratched up. And I just don't, you know, I don't take care of it. That's one. Not even the biggest reason. I think the biggest reason is that I don't have anything invested in it. If I go out and buy any of these, like if you were here, you could see I've got a pile of discs that I bought, and I have to have the actual artifact that's important to me. And if I go out to a record store, buy one of these things, I'll listen to it on the way to work the next day and, you know, really kind of give things a chance. If I get it on MP3, I don't know, it's just,
yeah,
it's just
I went to
bits
a,
and bytes or, you know, whatever.
I went to a speech that Chuck Klosterman gave, and he made that exact point. It's just music is so easy to come by today. I mean, you just gather it. The trouble is not finding good music. The trouble is finding the time to listen to all the music that you have access to
online. Right.
I mean, you can literally spend all your time listening to new music without anything really sinking in. Whereas in the old days, you know, when you're a teenager, you scrape up enough money to, you know, finally get that new REM CD.
Right.
And then you go get it. And then you're just going to listen to that thing to death. Whether it's good or not good, you're at least going to give it a chance since you sunk your money into
it. And I think probably the same thing applied to me when I was buying records and might have had cassette tapes that somebody burned for me. I don't know. You don't have that same emotional investment.
All right, here's my number 9. I don't have a whole lot of political music on here this year, but this one really is kind of a response to the whole Bush administration and the war on terror and the misguided erosion of our privacy. Plus, my son really likes this one. This is Flight of the Conchords. I had you going there for a while. This is Flight of the Conchords, Ladies of the World. And if you've heard a 3-year-old sing this, it's the greatest thing on earth. So here it is.
1, 2, 3. Just wanna do something special for all the ladies in the world. Just wanna do something special for all the ladies in the world. And the girls, but don't forget them.
Caribbean,
ladies,
Parisian,
ladies,
Bolivia,
ladies,
Namibia,
Eastern
Indochinian, Republic of Dominican,
lady,
Amphibian,
lady,
Presbyterian,
lady,
out of sight,
amazing lady,
late night,
hard-working lady,
erudite,
brain and lady,
hermaphrodite,
lady man lady.
Are you sexy hermaphrodite, lady man ladies? You're sexy lady bits, and you're sexy man bits too. Even you must be into you.
Ooh, ooh, all the ladies in the world, I wanna get next to you, show you some gratitude, by making love to you. It's the least we can do. If every soldier in the world looked at us, what for?
All right, that was Flight of the Conchords, which is obviously not about the Bush administration.
I was shooting glances over at Chris. Like, I was about to go and give him a hug.
It's about hermaphrodites. All right, let's see. Let's go on to your number nine.
All right, my number nine is by a band called Spiritualized, and the album is Songs in A and E. And I'll just make a clarification here. We're doing our top ten. These are not necessarily my top ten favorite songs. It's a song from each album. This will be my favorite song from each album, but I think Chris would probably agree. These aren't necessarily Chris Schneider seal of 10 best songs of the year.
You don't have to worry. I don't think Dick Cheney's listening to any of this, so I think you're good. All right, here we go. Spiritualized and Borrowed Your Gun.
Daddy, I'm sorry I borrowed your gun again. Shut up.
Are you all right? my God!
Well, that song, I think, if you take the lyrics out, which I think are funny, it's a nice sounding song.
No, it's wonderful, except for the killing your parents part.
No, not his parents, not his daddy. How carefully did you listen to the words?
I was just so horrified. I think you may be crying out for help with that song. Okay, let's see.
It, listeners, and my next three are all super happy.
If there are any psychologists out there listening right now, please send this man an email. All right. As some of our friends on NPR, I listen to their year end, and they dubbed the year in Beard Rock. And this is my first of a run of Beard Rock songs, and it's a short little song by a band called Horse Feathers, which actually played at your coffee shop.
Yes.
And I was really excited about that because their disc was on my, I guess, 06 best of list, I think.
They played, that was about 2 years ago, right?
Yeah.
When they were about to, I mean, we knew them a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think they gained a little bit larger audience, mostly as a result of that show.
I think that's probably what it was.
And
this is Horse Feathers, and it's a real short song, so I'll play the whole thing. And I just love how in the middle of it, it's kind of a scary song. Not scary, but you know, a little laid back. And then in the middle, it kicks in with this little violin part that's kind of happy, and it jumps around a little bit. So that's all I got. So here's Horse Feathers with Albina, the Bearded Wonders.
Thank you.
Horse Feathers. You like that song?
Yeah, but that wasn't the happiest song in the world either, Chris. I mean,
oh come on, that's it's Gunless.
That's true.
All right, what's your next one?
All right, my number eight.
This is number eight. All right.
You'll detect a change in mood. This is another one. I got this one kind of late in the game and didn't really expect it to make my top 10 list. And actually the first few seconds of the first song are so incredibly filthy and nasty. I'll tell you what it is first, so I'm not being too cryptic.
So it really is a reflection on you.
It's a band called Girl Talk, or a guy. I think he's a guy from Berg. He'll just take, modern hip-hop songs and mash them up with some classic rock, some cheesy 80s dance songs, and kind of all over the place.
There's one song that he does where he mixes up, like, Wings, silly love songs, and something that's just completely filthy. And it was just, it shows he has a real sense of humor.
Yeah, the filthiness of it is kind of a shame, because this is something I know my son, who's 8, would absolutely love. But there's no way I can even say it on a podcast, much less let my son listen to it. So anyway, I picked a song here. The CD is broken into different songs, and the songs have names, but the distinction between one song and the next is really pretty meaningless. It's really just kind of an hour, whatever it is,
of continuous
music. Anyway, this one is called Here's the Thing. The album is called Feed the Animals, and again, the band is Girl Talk.
That, of course, is not Girl Talk. That is, All right, so let's go back to your music, and here's the Girl Talk.
Deep down south, yeah, we play this game. It's the Quad City DJs, and yeah, we call it the train. So if you wanna ride this thing, just come on down the train. We're going around, pull on, just jump aboard. So get your next to kin.
Of course, was a mix between Nine Inch Nails and
I don't know what that.
I'm drawing a blank. What's her name? She won American Idol.
Aretha Franklin. I don't know. Oh, Kelly Clarkson.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Kelly Clarkson. And let's see. And before that was actually not Girl Talk. That was me. All right, let's go to my number. What are we on? Number 7. This is one that no hipster list would be without this year. This is a band, I believe, are they from Seattle, maybe? Something like that? The Fleet
Foxes? Yeah, I think so. I don't really know.
Yeah. Well, it's a really low-key, not even chanting, but how would you describe it? That's putting me out of the spot.
Pass.
There's really not even... Yeah, pastoral, bucolic. Perhaps. Not a whole lot of instrumentation, but a lot of really great melodies. They can really sing, which in the indie music world, sometimes you have to make some concessions about people who can't sing at all, even if they write great songs. So let's listen to White Winter Hymnal from the Fleet Foxes. Here we go. For me, this year seemed to be the year for last songs on albums, because I really wanted to pick the last song on that album.
Yeah.
It seems like every song I wanted to pick this year was the last song on the album. A lot of good closers this year. So let's go to your number.
I'm going to stick with the beardy theme.
All right.
I've got My Morning Jacket's Evil Urges as the as my seventh favorite album of the year. I did kind of order these a bit randomly. I like to just kind of, I don't really like to prioritize, but Chris held my feet to the fire. And, I guess this would be approximately my number seven. Anyway.
I'm a taskmaster. All right, here we go.
There you are.
Here I am. All right. Yeah, this is why I enjoy the doing the list on a podcast rather than writing it out, because I'm just awful at describing music. But let's see. I've heard this next one described as, let's see, The Onion described it as if Nirvana or My Morning Jacket covered Nirvana songs from the Bleach era or something in there. I actually think a lot of these songs kind of have a Radiohead kind of tinge to them, if Radiohead did like Southern rock type of thing. But anyway, we'll let the listeners decide for themselves. This is a band called Dead Confederate. Not sure if they have beards or not. So that would break my string of three bearded bands in a row, I guess.
It's likely given the name.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's probably a safe
bet. You ever see pictures of dead Confederates? Beards. Lousy with beards.
A lot of beards. All right, this is called The Rat. And it should be playing right now. And start now. Here we go. Your number six?
My number six is a band called the Explorers Club. This is a band that I wasn't sure whether I really should put them on my list. They're highly imitative, and I don't think I have to tell you the band that they sound quite a bit like once you hear it. It even goes to the pack. They sound exactly like the Beach Boys, even looking at the packaging.
Very beachy.
Very beachy, and I think they're from like Virginia Beach. Yeah, I think so.
Really?
I mean, they're from somewhere out east, anyway. I might have.
So I might Alan Iverson's probably a big fan. That's
probably
where he's from.
But I mean, they've got a guy that sounds like, you know, Brian Wilson. They've got the Mike Love guy. They've got it all. So anyway, I like this album quite a bit. And here.
Okay. Don't forget, The Sun is the name of the song. And here we go.
We do the day. We spend the nights apart and don't forget the sun and don't forget the sun. You've kept me warm since the
Yeah, I'm glad you kept it on long enough for that little pet sounds interlude in there.
It certainly was a little tip of the hat to the pet sounds. All right. Well, if you were in a poppy mood, then my next band is right up your alley. It was absolutely impossible for me to pick a song off this CD that I would pick as my favorite. But this is a band called Army Navy, and they're just ridiculously catchy. So this is a song called In the Lime.
Very catchy.
Army Navy. Yeah, every song on there is like that. Is that good? And I had trouble picking just one out, but that's the one I went with. So, and that's near the end of the album. Another album ender almost. So, your number five.
Number five is it's The Stand-Ins by Acquaville River. And I don't think I've ever talked about Acquaville River without Chris saying, "I'm not an Acquaville River guy."
Yeah.
And you're not. Maybe this song will change your mind.
I've actually got Lost Coastlines on here as your song. Is that a possibility?
Yeah, the album is the stand-ins. Lost Coastlines is the
I'm an idiot.
The song
okay.
Number
yeah,
two.
Here we go. All right, here we go.
No one to see on the quay, no one waving for me, just the shoreline receding. Ticket in my hand, I'm thinking, wish I didn't hand it in. Cause who said sailing is fine, leaving behind all the faces that I might replace if I tried on that long ride. Looking deep inside, but I don't wanna look so deep inside, yeah.
Sit down on the prow to wave by. There might not be another star further on the line. Look out, look out at each town that glides by. There's another crowd to drown in crying eyes.
And see how that light you love now just won't shine.
You know, Barrett.
Tell me, Chris.
I got to say this. Not really an Acquaville River guy.
I know I said early on in the podcast I wasn't going to look at Chris because it's confusing, but I saw his head bopping a little bit. I think he might look a new
I did that. There was a little bob. Yeah, there's a little bobbing going on there. Okay, what are we at? We're at number four now? Something like that? All right, now it's getting serious. I want to see your game face now. This one was a suggestion of our friend Stephen Thompson, who has vowed to me that he's going to listen to this over at NPR. And This is going to be on his list, I believe. He recommended this. This is Blind Pilot from the album Three Rounds and a Sound. Another, I believe, a beard rocker. I believe a beard is in the house on this one. And kind of a melancholy album. Kind of, you know, I'm not a big lyrics guy. I don't look at lyrics a whole lot. But if I were to listen to this album, I would think it'd probably be about, you know, kind of a breaking up or a relationship that's gone bad. You know, kind of filling in the gaps of, you know, where a relationship's gone wrong, something like that. So, what are you looking at me like that for?
feels like you're looking at me to comment, and I have not heard this. So I'm like many of our listeners, this will be new to me.
All right, here we go. But again, tough time picking a song off this album, but this is the album Ender, Three Rounds and a Sound.
Song, they're playing our song. Can you see the light? Can you hear the hum of our song? I hope they get it right. I hope we dance tonight before we get it wrong. And the seasons will change us new, but you're the best I've known, and you know me. I cannot be stuck on you. If it weren't true,
part in there. So that was Blind Pilot, Three Rounds and a Sound.
Very nice.
You were bobbing your head a little bit.
I liked it.
Yeah, it's very. Did you like my
got a
my
good beat, easy to dance to.
You're an ass. All right.
Number four, I think.
Yep. Number four? Okay. Oh, this is a.
Okay. My number four is a band called Blitz and Trapper, and I think they're from Portland. Pretty sure. The song is it's the title track off the album Fur, spelled with two R's, in case you care about such things. And this is a song about a...
It's a 17-year-old kid that wanders off in the woods.
What is he looking for? He's looking for angels, I think, and he gets adopted by a pack of wolves and you know, lives with them for a while. Skin gives way to fur with two R's. Couple of and then he meets a girl under the similar circumstances, comes out, and they live together on a farm, and then his mom hears his mom yelling, and then they go back to the real world.
And you have an affinity for the song because this actually happened to you?
Wait,
it's just like autobiographical. All right, here we go. Blitz and Trapper and Fur.
Yeah, when I was only 17, I could hear the angels whispering. So I drove into the woods and wandered aimlessly about until I heard my mother shouting through the fog. It turned out to be the howling of a dog, or a wolf to be exact. The sound sent shivers down my back, but I was drawn into the pack, and before long they allowed me to join in and sing their song. So from the cliffs and higher still, yeah, we would gladly get our fill, howling endlessly and shrilly at the dawn. And I lost the taste for judging right from wrong, for my flesh had turned to fur, yeah, and my thoughts, they surely were turned to instinct and obedience.
I actually like that song.
Yeah, I mean, it's got, it sounds straight off of the Rushmore soundtrack.
Yeah, something like that. No, yeah. I'd go with that. Although that kind of has a, like a the whole Rushmore soundtrack, which I own, is it's kind of British Invasion type of stuff. You would agree that that's kind of what that sounds like? Maybe a little bit? I don't know. I'm an idiot. Okay, here we go. My number, I guess this would be three, is a band that everyone's probably heard of at least. The even before this album came out, there was a backlash on they were too popular, not popular enough. I don't know, people always seem to know exactly how popular a band should be. But they're pretty popular, and this is my favorite song off this album. This is Vampire Weekend. And went to go see. Wait, am I on here? Yeah, my wife and I went to go see Vampire Weekend.
You did. I remember. I was going to try to go to that show. Where's the mute button? I was going to try to go to that show, and I think I was out of town.
Well, we're walking to the car after the show, and I see two girls that I guess I had met at a bar a week before, and I didn't remember their names, but apparently they remembered me. So they're like, "Hey, Chris," and I looked at them in horror. I was like, So I turn to my wife and I'm like, "Honey, these are two girls I met at a bar."
Nice.
That went over real well. All right, we are going to skip your number three because
exactly.
Your number three is my number one. So we'll go straight to my number two, which another rockin' album. Love this album. I listen to it pretty much nonstop over the summer. This is. British Sea Power with Trip Out. So let me turn this up because I screwed this up. Okay, here we go.
Build us a vehicle, send us a call. Pick up your sickle, get on board.
I'd forgotten how much I liked that.
So you get the idea on that.
I haven't listened to that in a while, and that's fantastic.
It really took me a while to get into that, but once I did, I absolutely could not put it down. All right, so we are up to your number two, and this is a song that was ubiquitous throughout the summer.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You describe it.
I didn't hear it. I listen to sports talk radio and NPR, so if it's on the radio, I don't know about it. But I heard it was on the radio. I heard it was on a TV show that's popular with the kids. Maybe Heart to Heart or
90210
or something. I can't remember.
Heart to Heart.
Murder, She Wrote. One of these.
I think it was on Manimal, I think.
I thought you were going to say Maddox. Anyway, it was on some show popular with the kiddies. And, of course, I thought about taking it off my list for that reason. I thought, that's asinine. I'm better than that, so I'm going to keep it on. I really like the song. It's called Time to Pretend.
That was MGMT.
We didn't mention that? Well, that's who that was.
No, that's who that was.
Since we share, his number one is my number three. We're going to hold off on that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go twice in a row in here and play one of my favorite songs off the Hold Steady's album, Stay Positive, that came out this year. And I just love these guys. This is another band that Chris just doesn't you can't embrace them. I can't understand why. It's just
I tried. I just
joyful.
I really like that kind of bar band. The Springsteen-y sound. I like it, but I just it just never grabbed me. Not the way I like.
You're incorrect for not liking that. I'll tell you that.
All right, one for the Cutters. The Hold Steady. Booyah.
When there weren't any parties, she'd park by the quarry, walk into the woods until she came to a clearing where townies would gather and drink until blackout, smoke six till they're sick, pack bowls and then pass out, windows wide open to let the hard rock in. This was a rage that didn't need much convincing. The girls gave her glares, but the boys were quite pleasant. To be totally honest, it didn't seem much different. When there weren't any parties, sometimes she'd party with townies. After the parties, it was always arousing when they'd rev up their engines.
All right.
All right.
So we've built up a lot of suspense over this show. I think some people may have fast-forwarded to Chris's number one. I hope you didn't. Is that even possible on a podcast? I'm not sure.
I liked how you took control before that last sentence and started reordering stuff. Like, all right, you're going to go, and then I'm going to go. That's good. I like to see that. All right. This is my number one, the darling of the indie media.
Eau Claire, beautiful Eau Claire.
Yes, he holed up in a shack in the woods and recorded this by himself, I believe. Maybe he had help, who knows. But
Bearded.
Also bearded, which is Hughes, yeah. So that's I think this pretty much caps off the year of the beard. This is Justin Vernon, a.k.a. Bon Iver, with Stax from his... This is another album ender for me. So here we go. This is number one. The suspense has been broken. Here it is. And just got to kill time here. Okay, here we go. Probably should take that out to the main what do you call it, chorus or whatever, but we're short for time here. So I also had the idea that we'd do our song of the year.
Well, this is an idea that Chris foisted on me last night, and I didn't give it any thought until my number two was playing, and we talked off the air.
You get an F minus for this.
I think time to pretend.
For this homework.
Which was off of my number two album. As Chris said, it was all over the place. I'll take his word for it. But I do know that my son loved it. There is an F-bomb in there, and they do talk a little bit about heroin and things like that. And so that wasn't my, you know, wasn't my choice for his favorite song. But he loved it, and he... Those things are lost on him. He doesn't know.
It was everywhere, and I'll take Chris's word for it. Like oh, I don't have a television, and
they didn't play it on Brewers broadcasts. It wasn't like J.J. Hardy's bat music or anything.
It really should have been. It could have been. I think Mike Cameron's probably a big management fan. All right, well, I'm going to pick my. I completed the assignment and picked my favorite song of the year that's not on one of these 10 albums. This is After Hours by We Are Scientists. Have you ever heard this? From the album Brain Thrust Mastery. And I've noticed it was also in the movie Nick and Nora's Mixtape.
Yeah.
Was that movie? What was it called?
Sounds familiar.
It was in that movie. All right. But it's like a youthful song about growing up, stuff like that, you know. All the stuff us old guys like. All right, here we go. After Hours. Yeah. that's it for the year. I'd like to thank my guy Barry Kilmer for coming by. Everybody go down to Indy Coffee to get a nice progressive cup.
People may not know where that is, Chris. It's at 12.
Indy Coffee can be found. where is Indy Coffee?
Indy Coffee is at 1225 Regent Street, right across from the Annex, approximately the midpoint between Camp Randall and the Kohl Center.
Hold on. Slow down there, my friend. Let's say just in the unlikely event I'm walking around and I'm getting really hungry.
Well, they do have food.
Have food as well?
Anytime you came in there, which could really be any time between 7 a.m. and 8 p.m., 5 or 7 days a week, rather. You can get waffles, and sandwiches, and cookies, and you name it. Well, I shouldn't, you know, you name it as a,
say you
I
name
don't
it.
Want to mislead anybody.
All right. There also can be some live entertainment found at Indy Coffee as well. On is that correct?
We've been to a number of shows there. We saw Yves Barzelay was there about 3 years ago. That was maybe the highlight. And then I'd say that, what are some of the, Chris Otepka's Horse Feathers.
Well, yeah,
Chris
Horse
Otepka
Feathers
numerous
there,
times, probably a dozen times. Those have been
yes.
Yep.
Formerly of Troubled Hubble.
Right.
Of,
so, yeah, it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun to... They
yeah,
did.
Played there once, right?
Actually, it was Uncle Tupelo. This is a while ago. Yeah.
And you had the spin.
They did come in. Yes.
There.
The barista really had no idea who he was until I think he wanted to be recognized just by his face.
So
yeah,
wrong.
He said, "Well," and I met a band called the Spin Doctors, and thinking he was all cool. And I'm pretty sure this may not have actually happened, but I think it did. Pretty sure she said to him, "Hey, I think my dad used to like you." I think he got his coffee and slink. Yeah.
Yeah, that's outstanding. All right. Well, thanks for being on the podcast. I'm going to wrap this up by, you just mentioned him, picking, I can already tell you what my favorite song of 2009 is going to be. It's a song from the band Clem Snide, which is now disbanded, but I think they have an album coming out, kind of a swan song album. Who knows? But I've got my spindly little fingers on this this song ahead of time, so I'm going to go ahead and play this. And this is going to be my favorite song of 2009.
I was going to add that I think Eve posted a MySpace message that said, despite any rumors he may have started about the demise of Clem Snide, Clem Snide is back and on tour.
Okay, well, this is definitely going to dispel that rumor. All right, here we go. This is Beard of Beast. Thank you for listening to the podcast, and keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars. Howdy!
Prisoners of ourselves, desperate little elves, we hide inside a tree and wear a beard of beast. But do you know that when you're here with me, that's the only time that I feel free. So wrap me in your skin, a holiday of sin. We'll take it when we can. There is no master plan. But do you know that when you're here with me, that's the only time that I feel free. and everything is true. If we think it through, or maybe it's a lie, we'll find out when we die. But do you know that when you're here with me, that's the only time that I feel free. La 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 la.